Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Do you hate the Dallas Cowboys? Do you hate them? I hate you. I hope all the bad things in the world happen to you and you alone, but mostly to you.
Do you hate them?
Joe.
Yeah. But I don't know if I hate them or if it's the people, like, because they get talked about all the time.
We all hate the coverage.
Yeah. It's
for
like,
sure.
Like, do I hate the coverage or do I hate the team? Because I think those are different.
You can hate the team because you hate the coverage.
I think that's what it is. Like, I don't like the Cowboys. I want them to fail because even though Skip Bayless is no longer on TV, I kind of enjoyed the meltdowns that we would get. But now it's kind of gone the other way where, like, as they're falling apart, I'm starting to get annoyed with the Stephen A. Smith stuff on social media where he's just, like, dancing on their grave. It's so over the top. I'm like,
the horse is very dead.
Yeah. They beat it.
To quote whatever character on The Simpsons. Stop it! He's already dead! I mean, they're very, very dead at this point.
See, I don't... I hate them because I hate the coverage.
Okay. Sean, do you hate the Dallas Cowboys?
Not really. Not particularly.
I bet Cowboys fans hate hearing that.
Yeah, I mean...
They miss being hated.
The reason I don't hate them is because, like, yeah, they're not like the Cowboys in the 90s. I wasn't alive for that. I only know them as, like... The sweet spot for a Cowboys season, like Joe's talking about, to where they're not a dead horse getting beat on First Take every morning, is like to be in the playoff mix or make the playoffs. But there's still enough questions to be like, are we sure? Are we sure this team's for real? And then they lose in the divisional round and you're like, ha ha, told you. But like in a year like this where they're going to win 5-6 games.
If that.
As AJ says, less behind me.
Probably is.
Oh, yeah. AJ, Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Back there.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
And maybe it's
bandwagon Cowboys. A 22-year-old bandwagon Cowboys fan.
I'm like, maybe part of it's because Dak's not in this game. That's like in the moment, I also feel differently.
I hated the Cowboys a lot more when I lived up in the Northeast because I didn't understand why there were Cowboy fans in the Northeast. I didn't understand how going to Gillette Stadium, you would see an occasional person wearing a Cowboys jersey for a non-Cowboys game.
Well, those are the people I hate the most.
The
sports.
The Northeastern Dallas Cowboys fan is the effing worst. I cannot stand them. However, I find that Cowboy fans down here are endearing in how jaded and miserable they are with the current operation. And there are some who are delusional, like this guy in the text line who keeps on sending in, ooh, look at the Texans Cowboys all-time record. Baby, you can't hurt me. My Pats owned y'all ass, okay? But I will make a confession. There was a time when Paul Gallant, first getting into football, was a Cowboys fan. I loved the helmets. I rooted for the Cowboys and Little Giants, first of all. If you've never seen that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because F those nerds. I would have been on the Cowboys, and we wouldn't have had the issues that that team had against the nerds in that game, okay? I'm sorry, Al Bundy or Rick Moranis, who's going to be coaching a successful football team? The guy who scored 4 touchdowns in a game for Polk High.
Definitely.
I liked Emmett Smith. I had a, get this, Cowboys nightlight because my godmother's husband, my uncle, bought me a Cowboys nightlight for Christmas because he wanted to make me a Cowboys fan. And at the time, given how bad the Patriots had been to that point, I mean, it was on the table. It was on the table. I liked the Cowboys. I liked the Patriots more. I liked the Cowboys at one point. And then I interacted with Cowboy fans who lived in the Northeast, and I thought they were the absolute worst. And then I started hating the Cowboys for a time. But right now, I don't hate the Cowboys. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, because, okay, so I think there's There's also two very different kinds of Cowboys fans.
Mm-hmm.
There's real Cowboys fans. And now, sometimes they send texts like this, who are bragging about a 4-2 record against the Texans. So you've played 6 games in the history of these two teams' franchises. Congratulations. The Texans can tie that record in the next, like, 3 years now. Such a weird thing to brag about. But the Cowboys fans we all truly hate are the ones who don't live here. It's the ones
in
who
Texas
have,
or Dallas.
Who have Cowboys jerseys, and or in, you go to their Twitter bio, and it says Cowboys, Yankees, Duke, Lakers. Like those are the Cowboys fans that like we that are the worst. Because they're not real fans. Like they've just jumped on to the bandwagon of four teams that win a ton and act like they just happen to be the most superior fans in the world. They're the worst. The Cowboys fans who live here, like Dr. Dre, who's always in the Twitch chat and stuff, usually more during the piece. I don't know why. But like he's a Cowboys fan, but like he's very grounded in what he thinks of the team. He's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the Cowboys fans like to fight each other. Huge perk.
They do. I mean,
huge perk.
There is a look that a Cowboys fan has. And listen, I've brought this up with Yankee fans as well. It's generally for the Yankees fans, somebody who is wearing a wife beater, some sort of chain, probably not an expensive one, a Jorge Posada jersey, who looks just outrageously Italian in some way, shape, or form. Cowboys fans have their own special vibe. I feel like a lot of Cowboys fans, they're going to have some oversized 88 jersey. You're going to be wearing jorts, long jorts.
The jorts. Is a...
You might be wearing boots with those jorts. And here is the most important thing. I have never seen a fan base with more people still rocking a chin strap, like the chin strap facial hair, than Cowboys fans. I've actually thought about doing this for Halloween before, and AJ, he does not have a chin
strap.
Nope,
I had to double check.
He had to check.
No chin strap.
He had to check. There is a vibe, though, of that. I thought mm-hmm. I actually thought about once for Halloween, like being a Cowboys fan and just having the chin strap. And doing the jersey.
That'd be a great costume.
Maybe we'll do it next year.
Maybe we do like a show like
where we dress up as the fan bases we hate.
Yeah, like we'll do like Cowboys, funny. Yankees.
I could not wear, but physically I would have to kill myself if I put on Yankee garb. I would have to kill myself.
I mean, but this means could we get Mapes in a Yell Leader outfit?
No, like, I'd wear a Yell Leader outfit.
You don't hate them. You horns down, okay? So like you can't do that one. We can get Mapes in the Yell Leader outfit. We'll be fine.
Let's read some text here. There's some funny ones here from the 409. It's pure pity that to watch Super Bowl highlights you have to use a VCR. Damn, that's accurate. Probably. I doubt that they've turned those into DVDs, right? I mean, some of the Patriots Super Bowl championships, like you could get them on DVD, but they won't even work with my DVDs anymore. So some of mine are getting pretty old too. But yeah, that is right. That is VCR era. You are not kidding on that. From the 747, Key from LA says the worst Cowboy fans that live in LA. Yep.
Yeah, but see, at least them I can get it because like your teams abandon you all the time for football.
Yeah, that's
yeah. There was like what 25 years where there just wasn't a team.
Yeah, so like
yeah, there's a lot of Cowboys fans here because of that.
I get Key's point, but like also, at least they have some justification. People in Boston, Chicago, New York, you have no justification for being Cowboys fans.
Yeah, it's weird, unless you're just like, well, I want to root for someone good. And you know what? Jumping on a bandwagon when your local team sucks, that is not something I look down on. It's more the way that they comport themselves.
It's also, again, it's been 25 years. Like, jump off the bandwagon. Jump on the Chiefs bandwagon.
Sean, it's been more than 25 years. We're very close to 30. It's 1996, I believe, is when that Super Bowl that they won over the Steelers, Super Bowl 30, was played.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't that sound ancient? Super Bowl 30. I don't even know what the numerals are now.
Oh,
the Super
Triple
Bowl.
X. That must have been fun.
Triple X. What a great movie. She like the last... State of the Union. Not as good. I didn't watch the most recent one. I should have. Honestly, I feel like I let my guy Vin Diesel down.
It's okay.
I let him down.
It doesn't come close to the first one.
Vin Diesel looks like a Cowboys fan, though. He does. Kind of looks like a Cowboys
Vin Diesel
fan.
Probably
yeah,
is
like
a
if he was
fan.
Like the Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers fan, like wouldn't shock, man.
What are we doing there?
Someone from the 832. Quick, somebody get Paul a Yankee jersey. Hey, that's not cool. So there you go, guys. We can keep this going. Really, the question I have is, do you hate
the Dallas Cowboys. I don't hate them. I really don't. I kind of enjoy watching them flounder about a bit, but I do like it when they're better than this so that we can see them have what happened to them, I don't know, against the Green Bay Packers in last year's playoffs. Who didn't enjoy that? That game got out of hand so fast. Sorry, AJ, behind the glass. That got so out of hand. It was insane.
Yeah, I enjoy the failures of the Cowboys.
Don't we all? Yeah.
And that's where I think it is clear, like, we do hate them, because when you really enjoy a team's downfall, like, if it triggers emotion when a team loses, it probably means you hate them.
Yeah. Look, people love watching the Patriots lose, for sure. You would have loved to watch me watch them lose. You know? You probably could have gotten me to try to start a fight with you if I was of a young enough age. Or awesome. I would just be crying like a little bitch. You know? One or the other.
I love you, Paul. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad I don't have to do radio shows with you the day after a Tom Brady loss.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like that would be a great experience.
Well, I remember one time. This was back at the flagship days. I was going into the grocery store. This is just after the Patriots had lost to the Giants. And Josh Innes and Rich Lord were on the air over at the flagship. And Josh called me, basically, because I had watched the game with him the night before, basically asking me if I was on suicide watch. And Rich Lord, who was a Giants fan, was just cackling in the background. I was so pissed. I was so pissed. And I just gave him nothing. I was like, I know what they want from me. And I'm not going to give it to them.
Good.
I'm not gonna lose my mind. Anyway, he's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. Galata, George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We're 89 days away from the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. And Joe George thinks there is a good option and a bad option for the Astros going forward. When it comes to Alex Bregman, we'll discuss. Stay put.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I was asking whether or not you hate the Dallas Cowboys. A bunch of texters say they hate Cowboys Astros fans. That's an interesting hybrid.
Okay, maybe this is an outsider perspective, but, like, the Oilers left. So people didn't want to root for the Oilers anymore. So if they became Cowboys fans, well, then what have we been discussing this whole week about the Texans? Haven't exactly given you a lot to root for in franchise history.
Well, they haven't won you back, right. I mean, they are the replacement dog.
Yeah. So I'm okay with Cowboys.
They're the next Ben Herbstreit.
Yeah. And everyone wants a Ben Herbstreit. Can every dog be a Ben Herbstreit? Some can, not all.
Who's our Ben Herbstreit then? Is that the Astros?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully they're not, you know.
Hey.
Well, fair question to ask. As we continue our countdown to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
So yesterday, Joe, we talked about a new potential suitor of Alex Bregman. It's the Phillies. We also talked about how John Feinsand believes it's a 50-50 proposition of Bregman returning to the Astros. Chandler Rome had a piece in The Athletic talking about the Astros' alternatives at third base. You like one of his suggestions and another you didn't like. You want to start with the good or the bad?
Yeah, so I'll start with the good. So I think the three options were sign a stopgap, trade for someone, and then let the young kids play. I think the best option is to trade for someone, honestly. I don't think signing a stopgap level player really makes any sense, because they're most likely going to be mostly below average. They're probably going to be one of the worst hitters in your lineup. Like, what's the purpose of that? Like, what does that actually accomplish besides you know, you could use that money for bullpen help or something like that. I really just don't find the need to sign a stopgap guy useful. I'd rather trade for someone. I'd rather trade for Nolan Arenado or Alec Bohm if they end up, you know, signing Alex Bregman. I'd rather,
who's that guy?
He's the Phillies third baseman.
Oh, currently. Okay.
Yeah.
Do a little third baseman swap?
I mean, it's not perfect.
You ever watch the TV shows with the wife swaps? I haven't.
No.
Back in the day, I'd watch it.
Really?
I've watched the Chappelle's Show skit with the wife swap. That was an iconic skit.
My wife's watching that weird Mormon show now. Like the Mormon wives.
Oh, the Mormon, like, swingers?
Real Housewives of Mormonhood? Oh, there's another one.
They're like, all, like, TikTokers?
Yeah.
You know what? I think we talked about this on the air. I forget the name of the show.
Yeah.
I actually am not opposed to it. But, okay. Sorry. Tangents happen here. Alec Bohm is a potential option at third base. And you're looking at these options and saying, all right, why not?
Yeah. I think it's if Bregman's gone, I'd rather trade for someone that is more established, that's not a free agent for a reason. Like, I would just rather trade for Alec Bohm or Nolan Arenado.
What are you trading for him?
Prospects that just don't really, like.
What prospects do you have?
You have prospects. The Astros have proven that. There's trades to be had. Like, they don't have a trade to go get, like, an elite third baseman. You can't find an apples-to-apples replacement for Alex Bregman on the trade market. You can't accomplish that.
Okay.
So, like, you're still taking a step down, most likely. But I just, like, Paul DeJong was the guy that, you know, Chandler brought up as a stopgap. Like, I don't want to do that.
You don't want a stopgap.
Yeah.
You want to trade for somebody. We all want to bring back Bregman. If they don't bring back Bregman, you want something that's above a stopgap.
Yes. So either trade for someone or the last option, just let the young kids play. Like, if you're going to assign a stopgap, they're likely going to be bad. So if you're going to have someone be bad for you, well, why not just bring up Bryce Matthews? Like, just bring up a young kid and let him play third base. I mean, I'd rather not be – who was the guy with all the errors last year? Not DeZenzo.
Whitcomb.
Yeah, don't – not him. He stinks.
Whoa.
Out on Shea Whitcomb.
That's a lot of errors in one game.
I feel like it's too early to limit his ceiling.
I agree. It's too early. We're not talking about him limiting his ceiling, huh?
We should be.
But we will talk about D'Amico Ryans. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Hmm.
Yeah, so either trade for someone or let the young kids play.
Okay.
There's no reason to sign a stopgap guy.
That does make sense. I feel that it will be a failure if they don't bring back Alex Bregman. I think most people are on the same page as far as that goes. Other Astros news that we've seen the last couple of days. I'm very curious about what this conversation was. Dana Brown said he... Get out of the way, pop-up. Joe Espada and other members of the front office, I guess not Reggie Jackson anymore, met with hitting coaches Troy Snitker and Alex Cintron after the season. The message was to get the lineup more patient.
Yeah, I'm...
Why didn't that happen during the playoffs? Why didn't that happen during the year? Everyone knew that it should happen. I don't get that one.
I don't really get either why, like, that conversation. I guess maybe the season got too far away from them that they felt it couldn't change, or you know, this was Joe Espada's plan to make this change. Honestly, I thought we were going to see a change in the offseason. It got so bad at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, a team that the previous year can't win a home playoff game. This year, you're losing your two playoff games to the Tigers. Most of the season, you're getting guys on base left and right, but you're towards the bottom of the league for, like, the first, as you're really struggling in the beginning of the season of, you know, you're at the top of the league in terms of having runners left in scoring position.
Right.
Like, you're just not executing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought there might have been a change. They have to preach patience. And it probably should start with Jose Altuve.
Oh, that's tough, though.
But if Yordan's going to hit second, like, Jeremy Booth is, I think he's right.
I agree with him on that, too.
If Yordan's going to hit second, then Altuve needs to see more than one pitch.
Especially if Bregman is potentially gone. Now you don't really have somebody. Are you going to put Tucker second?
Probably.
I mean, that might make a little more sense to have him second and Alvarez third if you no longer have Alex Bregman. But I'm with you. The Altuve approach at the plate, I don't think you can tell him to stop being him. Like, his aggression at the plate and the fact that if you make a mistake first pitch of the game, he'll swing it out of the ballpark and make the pitcher basically have to deal with that from the get-go. Like, that potential is, I think, huge. I wouldn't tell Altuve to change his approach.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think you got to make it so that Alvarez and some of the other guys
can actually get a couple of looks at the pitchers before they come up. And does that lend itself to you move Altuve down and you move those guys up? I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I don't hate the idea of like Kyle Tucker being your leadoff guy. If you want. I probably wouldn't change. I mean, look, Altuve just won a Silver Slugger. Like, why would you change anything? But it's more about if you're not going to have him change, then you probably want to have just a different guy batting second than you are on Alvarez.
It was his seventh Silver Slugger, and that ties him with Ryan Sandberg, I guess, for the most all time at second base.
Nice.
How about that?
You should pass him then, probably.
You would think. Who's going to overtake him in the American League? And
I probably can't even name like two other second basemen at this point.
Well, you did name other third basemen, and people who I was completely unaware of.
Alex Bregman, maybe.
Oh, Alex Bregman's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
And he moves to second.
Yes. Dude, that would be crazy. Bregman and Altuve having a all-star vote-off at second base.
This time next year, we're breaking down
that would suck so much.
Who has the highest OPS plus?
Should the Astros have let Jose Altuve walk and then Alex Bregman play second base?
Oh, my God. That's going to happen if he leaves. That is going to happen if he stays in the American League. I will hate that. Are we going to do like the same thing that we were doing during James Harden's kind of MVP campaign that he didn't win the MVP of? Why is Russell Westbrook getting it?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do that?
Yeah, bring back the... But this isn't the MVP wars. This is the Silver All-Star Slugger.
Yeah. And the Silver Slugger. You know what? I'll take it. If it gives us more things to talk about during the baseball season, then I'm here for it.
Silver Slugger watch.
2025.
I would really prefer Alex Bregman to go to the National League and not be... a consistent foe for the Astros.
That'd be nice.
89 days from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. How about that? Up next, the 10-minute drill. There's a Thursday night football game on deck. And it's big boy table week in the AFC. How did the Texans get up to that big boy table? Discussing next here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
We got Thursday night football tonight. And once again, the question on everybody's mind. Will Al Michaels have fun? Will he have fun? Will he have fun?
I hope so. This is a great game.
Washington Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles. Gotta say, this is lining up to be one of the better NFL slates this week. The Eagles, per mybookie.ag, are 4-point favorites.
Huh. I'm a little surprised by that. I know Jayden Daniels, he's starting to regress a little bit. Statistically, the Cliff Kingsbury second half of the season drop-off has kind of arrived, where he was completing 77% of his passes earlier in the season. It's dropped down to about 60% in the last 2 weeks, so he's kind of fallen down a little bit since the rib injury, but I'm excited about this game tonight. Brian Robinson Jr. is going to play for the Commanders. They're main running back, so I'll take the Commies. I'm pro-Commie.
Yeah, we've always known you're pro Commie, Joe. You didn't need to say it.
It's because of Mapes.
It's because of Mapes?
Yeah, Mapes has the Commies are going to win the NFC East ticket this year. So I do.
This is a big one for me. Unlike Al Michaels, I'll be wide awake for this.
You know why people are going to pick the Commanders, and I bet this line changes by kickoff? It's because everyone thinks Nick Sirianni is such a doofus that he will get in the way of this really good Eagles offense. Saquon Barkley's been awesome. Happy for him. Jalen Hurts has bounced back after a rough year last year. He might be sneaking his way back into the MVP conversation if the Eagles continue to do what they're doing. He has won it before. It's going to be tough for anyone to overtake Lamar Jackson. But yeah, this should be a good game. What I'm looking forward to is the moment in the game where Al Michaels decides that it isn't. Because he does. Just about every single time.
If there's like a punt turnover kind of stretch in the second quarter, I think we start to lose Al a little bit. If you're just like
a couple field goals.
Yeah, miss or a missed field goal. Like a punt, missed field goal, turnover. He's like, ugh.
He did, for what it's worth, bring up in last Thursday's game, which was awesome.
It was a good game.
Ravens 35-34, Bengals. At the very end, he did bring up the missed call and went on a little tangent about it. So even that game, still not quite Al's steak.
Not 10 out of 10 for him.
He just, I honestly thought that was the microphone.
I also thought it was the microphone falling.
He just speaks willingly now. Like, bad call, bad kick. He's just going to call you out.
Yeah,
he's going to tell you how it is. He's old man Al now. He doesn't care about what the people think. He's just going to tell you the truth.
You good, Paul?
I am good. For those who don't know, I just used my microphone to almost knock over a massive cup of liquid onto the floor, but I caught the cup of liquid with my hand. I may have sprained my wrist in the process. And yet we fight on.
Fight on!
We fight on.
No excuses.
Give me some painkillers, baby. Yeah. Think about that, Mike Tirico. Anyway, it's big boy table week in the AFC. So we'll talk about these games tomorrow as well, but I was taking a look at the schedule. First off, you've got in the early window I think, fantastic game that I did not think would be back the way that it is right now. You got the Ravens and the Steelers. And I thought this was an interesting number. I did not know that this was what it was. But the Ravens are 1-3 against the Steelers with Lamar Jackson in the lineup. In those games, he has turned the football over 10 times. 7 were interceptions. The Steelers are the only team in the league that Lamar Jackson has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns against.
Huh. Interesting. Kind of feels like if people want to buy into the Lamar Jackson's going to get out of his playoff issues, that he needs a win on Sunday. Like, set him on the right trajectory.
I think everyone's looking at the Steelers as frisky, but not serious. Their record screams otherwise. Did you know what Lamar Jackson's touchdown to interception ratio is right now?
It's very high.
24-2.
He's only thrown 2 picks
this
year.
He's only thrown 2 picks this year. Yeah. It's going to be hard for anyone to overtake him as MVP. You got the Bills, who are favored over the Kansas City Chiefs, even though the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes are 11-3 as underdogs.
Yeah, so I'll be taking the Chiefs in the pick 6 tomorrow.
You think so? Okay.
I don't know. You're going to give me Patrick Mahomes plus points? It's just such a rare opportunity. I feel like I have to do it.
If anyone's going to beat the Chiefs and stop them from undefeated, it's the Bills. So I might be picking with my heart, not with what I believe will happen.
But what if, would it shock you at the same time, the Chiefs just, win by 14?
That would shock me.
Yeah,
14
really?
Would shock me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to win by 3.
One last game. No one's talking about this one, but this is big boy table adjacent. These are the teams that the Texans are in the same conversation as far as trying to get their way up into the upper echelon of the AFC. The Sunday night football game is Chargers-Bengals. Chargers 2-point favorites.
That's an interesting game because this is the Bengals season.
Mm-hmm.
They're win it. They're still in it. I mean, I guess technically they could. But, I mean, the Denver Broncos are 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bengals win this game, they're 5-6. And then they're going to be a playoff team. And they're going to be a dangerous 7-seed.
They got a chance. I still think they got to dot their I's, cross their T's. Someone texted in earlier when we were asking about fair criticism of D'Amico Ryans, which we will get back into in the 2 o'clock hour. Someone brought up Zach Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, and there are real questions about him, even though they have made it to a Super Bowl and came pretty close to winning a Super Bowl.
I mean,
it's a big one for Zach Taylor. Everyone thinks Jim Harbaugh is the better coach.
Don't we think he's getting fired this year, Zach Taylor, if they don't make the playoffs?
I think it's on the table, but it's the Bengals, so you never know.
Yeah, they're really cheap.
I mean, they're cheap. I'm not sure what his contract situation is, how many years he might have left, but something to keep in mind. Here we have to go, by the way, with the NFL draft. It's already starting. I saw the other day somebody impersonating Deion Sanders. It was a fantastic impersonation on, I want to say, either TikTok or Instagram. I forget who. But it was an A-plus impersonation. And for a moment, I thought it was Deion Sanders saying, I'm not going to let Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders be drafted by these teams. I figured he's not going to say this in real life, but when he was on Speak, not to be confused with Speak for Your Pizza, on Fox Sports 1, Deion Sanders said he will step in before the wrong team drafts his son Shedeur Sanders, and that he would do the same thing for Travis Hunter. He said he'll work behind the scenes to get them on the team, not make a public statement about it. Said Sanders, yeah, but I'm going to do it publicly. I'm not going to do it publicly. I'd do it privately. What is this then? What is this, Deion? I love you. What is this? You're making me a lot of money this year in my picks department because Colorado always covers.
Yeah.
But this is doing it publicly. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
I just, how is he going to pull this off for two guys? I mean, like, because, like, I don't blame him. I wouldn't want my son to be the quarterback of the New York Giants.
Why?
Or the Cleveland Browns.
Why?
I mean, like, what is he?
Why?
Like,
he'd be a millionaire.
I'd just rather him be in a better situation.
Well, yeah. But
he's definitely going to try to get Travis Hunter to the Cowboys.
Low bar to clear with those quarterbacks and their histories and franchises. Like, he's got to be better than most of the quarterbacks. Like, Eli Manning's the greatest quarterback in Giants history.
Yeah. I feel like he'll try to get Travis Hunter to the Cowboys. I just don't know where like he would want Shedeur Sanders to go to.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas, it seems like Shedeur Sanders is trying to manifest that. That's for sure.
Yeah, you saw that story.
I did. I'm sure that'll go great.
Every Sunday after the Raiders lose, Shedeur Sanders tweets out, "Thank you, God." And the one week he didn't do it was like their bye week.
I like
it. Isn't there a video of him and Mark Davis?
Yes.
Talking.
I think
as
it was
well?
At like an Aces game or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe at like a summer league thing.
I could see
where
that.
Where he was like, I forgot what Mark Davis said, but it was like very tampering adjacent.
So Antonio Pierce gets fired. Deion Sanders recommends who's the new head coach of the team because it won't
myself.
Be him.
Myself. Oh.
I think he'll stay in college.
He probably will.
And then Shedeur gets drafted by the Raiders. It makes sense. But, like, also, you want your kid to go to the same division as Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes? I feel like there's other divisions you could want him to go to.
Hey, you got to get drafted. You got drafted by a bad team. That's the thing. If you're as good as Shedeur Sanders, like, he's not going to be able to go to, like, an awesome team.
Are we sure he's going to be a top five pick?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Based off the way that the drafts have been going of late, it does feel like everyone's just going to take the quarterback early on if they have the opportunity to do it, because you don't want to risk someone like Patrick Mahomes falling to 10, or when he was good, Deshaun Watson falling to 12.
Last year, 6 went in the top 12.
Yeah.
I think if you're a top 3 quarterback, it's pretty safe to say you'll be top 5 at the very least.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Right now, people are just rolling the dice and they're like, we're not gonna wait around. If we like a guy enough, we're going to take him. So, okay, the potential destinations for Shedeur Sanders. Jaguars, he's saying no to that. Giants, he's saying no to that. Titans, I would imagine he's saying no to that. I don't think he would say no to the Browns. I don't. I feel like the Browns are actually a pretty good situation. The visor just entirely off because they brought in Watson and he has been doo-doo on doo-doo.
I think if I was Deion, though, I would say he's got it. Like, Deshaun can't be there.
Yeah, Watson has to get
I don't want this scumbag near my kid.
Whoa.
Like, he got to go.
Mm-hmm. Panthers? Nope. Not happening. Saints? I don't think so. Jets? I don't think so. Cowboys? Maybe.
Yeah, they just paid Dak.
Yeah, no.
I mean, but it's possible. Like, if you're going to get out of the Dak Prescott business, like, drafting a rookie quarterback would be the easiest way to do it.
And trade Dak to Vegas. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you get Travis Hunter to Vegas. So he can catch passes from Dak Prescott. But then Shedeur Sanders can throw passes to CeeDee Lamb.
There we go.
The Giants, actually, as you're reading through those teams, doesn't sound that bad because of how just bottom
again,
of the barrel.
Again, all of these teams are terrible. Like, there's not a single, like, team that's awesome that's going to be in the top 10. Maybe the Patriots. But they don't need a quarterback.
They don't need a quarterback now, right.
Bears?
Hmm.
They don't need a quarterback.
Are they going to lose enough?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought they were good.
They play a bunch of good teams.
Oh, now they play. Up. Yeah, they're done playing the Jags every week. Now
Well, you could say the same thing about the Texans, too.
Hey.
But they're about to play. Guess what?
bad teams.
The Cowboys, yeah. Jaguars, the Titans.
They have the Jags coming up.
They're getting their bad team stretch right now.
He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. Rockets had a nice win last night. We saw two old friends in last night's game. And we'll keep an eye on a certain something that's going on in the NBA that could potentially benefit the Houston Rockets as well. Stay put.
Saturday and Sunday, Sean and myself and Cam Smith will be broadcasting live inside ESPN Bet at La Berge in Lake Charles. Before you go, make sure you download that Cover 5 app. It's a free-to-play game in your app store. You pick five games against the spread, whether it's NFL, college football. They also have leagues for Major League Baseball weekly. That one goes Tuesday through Saturday, so I think you pick five games in there as well, but it's totally free to play. And if you finish in the top 15, you can win Penn Play Cash, which you can use to book hotel rooms. You can use it at the restaurants or at the shops that are inside La Berge or any Penn entertainment property that you go to. But it's the best place to go when you leave Texas to bet on your teams. Make sure you do it at ESPN Bet in La Berge in Lake Charles.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Nice win for the Rockets last night. I especially enjoyed that the Rockets beat up on two old players. One of them, James Harden. Another one of them, Kevin Porter Jr.
Kind of had a feeling you would.
The first one, I mean, I've just never understood why people still love Harden after the way that he left. No matter what the memories were, he was such a bitch when he left. And yeah, he was. He was. I don't think that's how you comport yourself as an athlete, but hey, it's the player empowerment era. Whatever. Go do you. Demand that you go to only one organization. Then demand that you go to another one. Then demand that you go to another one, get a little hefty along the way, play a style of basketball that breeds contempt because it lacks honor with the flopping and with the lack of defense. Continue to play a style with an irrational level of confidence in your three-point shot. Do all of those things, you know? I wish James Harden well. And I know everyone believes me when I say that, but yeah, it's nice to beat James Harden last night.
Yeah, it was. It was a fun game, too, because like, obviously the Clippers got out to like a little bit of an early lead, but the Rockets came back so fast. I love watching Tari Eason and Amen Thompson on the court at the same time together. My gosh. Like, they just bring so much energy, and really the offensive production is... You can't ask for 36 points for the two guys. Amen Thompson, he just needs to keep shooting the ball when he's open in the corner like that, just so it's always a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never want to be Russell Westbrook, but his shot also looks way less broke.
Or Jalen Green, 5 for 14 from outside. What? I didn't say that.
Hey, they won.
14 shots, that's a lot. It's
a lot of threes.
But, hey, nice to see Thompson actually hit outside shots. That's not something you really expect.
Yeah.
And with Tari Eason... Kawhi Leonard 2.0.
Uh-huh. I mean,
18 points nice off the bench.
Would have been nice if we could have seen a head-to-head last night. But
yeah, it would have been.
Kawhi's missing in action again.
It would have been. Harden in this game last night, 6 for 15 from the field for 19 points. We also saw Kevin Porter Jr. Did anyone see the image of Rafael Stone going up and talking with Kevin Porter Jr. before the game?
Yeah.
Bro, let it go. Let it go. We actually... kind of have faith in Rafael Stone. Let it go. Let it go. I don't want to see you near Kevin Porter Jr. When I saw that article about his obsession with Kevin Porter Jr. last year, I was almost out on Stone entirely. And to his credit, he's done a pretty good job building a roster that's very deep. But that obsession of trying to make Kevin Porter Jr. the next James Harden was ridiculous given all the things that were happening off the court. And guess what? Something else happened off the court. What an epic surprise.
I mean, if it didn't happen, though, he's probably still here.
You're probably right. He sucked. He was so bad when he came into the game.
I was going to say, probably not still here.
No.
Yeah, I think he may would have gotten him out the paint.
Yeah, I mean, he's also, like, he's not almost like not a real basketball player at this point.
Yeah, he's like, he gets out there and he doesn't, unless He makes shots. He doesn't do anything.
I was watching this game on mute, and I'll be honest, the attention was maybe not where I wanted it to be for a game like this. So, but I did see somebody tweet something along the lines of, the Clippers were doing good, and then Kevin Porter Jr. entered the game, and it was an absolute disaster for whatever amount of time that he stayed in there. Yeah, minus 11 in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard.
That's tough.
I think there's just like a rule, too, where like there's a certain numbers in basketball. Like if you wear them, you're not a serious player.
Yeah, 77. I almost feel like, that category. Are you from the Balkans? Like, are you Luka Doncic or something like that? Like, that's the only person I can see pulling that off. Like someone from some country that is not on this side of the earth.
Yeah, where it's like, this must be a
G League guy.
This must be a meaningful number from wherever this guy's from.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, Kevin Porter Jr. from here.
Same thing with, there will always be a minor league guy called up in the middle of the year, say on the Astros, and you're like, why is this guy like number 62? Like they didn't have any other numbers for him? Yeah. Did he just give him this number? He didn't get to pick it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they don't expect you to be there very long. It's not going to be your real jersey number, so.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen to Zach DiZenzo this year, didn't it? He came up with a number that was really strange, and then they let him change it to 10, I think it was.
Well, yeah, after, multiple numbers.
After Lo Perfetto got traded.
So. Yeah.
Pour one out. I miss Joey.
I miss Joey, too.
Joey, baby. Oh, sorry. I'll stop. To bring it back.
Don't get that one either, though.
It's a great song by Concrete Blonde.
Never heard of him.
Unbelievable.
Sorry.
Unbelievable. It actually is very believable.
What a day for Paul references.
Yeah, they're just obscure.
They're always obscure.
I think they're extra obscure today.
They're more obscure.
I feel
more,
like normally, okay. if you drop a bunch of references, like I'll get one or two.
Yeah, or there's like a layup in there. There's no layups. There's no like this from Gladiator.
Seems like that's a you problem, to be honest.
That we didn't get the 1953 movie Shane.
Yeah, honestly.
You're just yelling the name, you know, Shane, and we're like, oh, from the movie, Shane.
In the same way that I'm trying to hold D'Amico Ryans to a higher standard and CJ Stroud to a higher standard, I'm trying to hold you guys to a higher standard.
Mm. Is this a higher standard?
It is a higher standard, okay. Yes, Sean.
Yeah.
Yes. He growled.
Knowing these crazy movies.
Oh, we should get some more modern references. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Could he be a Houston Rocket in the near future? So I don't know how many people listen to the Sunday edition of the Bill Simmons podcast, but with Cousin Sal, who he almost never talks basketball with, Bill Simmons decided to go on a tangent about possible destinations for Giannis, one of them, the Houston Rockets.
And to me, it's either Brooklyn or Houston, because Houston's the other team that could... They have picks and young players. It's just like, if I'm Giannis, would I rather go to Brooklyn or Houston? I don't know. Like Houston's minus 128. Houston made that trade. They have Brooklyn's 2026 first. They can swap Brooklyn in 27. They have a Phoenix first in 27. They own all their own picks. They have a Phoenix or Dallas first 29. Like they have enough to put a Giannis thing together with some contracts. Yeah. Give them a young player. The problem is they gave extensions to Green and Şengün, so I don't think those guys can be in the trade, but they could patch stuff together. But I think those are the two teams. I don't think Miami has enough.
For what it's worth, the Bucks have won two in a row. They're 4-8. They are the 12 seed in the Eastern Conference. Thank you for the great music in the background.
Giannis scored like 59 last night. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. 59 points
to win in overtime against the Pistons, who are feisty this year.
Yeah. But
still not what you love.
Had 43 against the Celtics on Sunday in a game where he elbowed Jaylen Brown, offered a handshake mid-play, and then did a psych. Not going to lie, that was awesome. I enjoyed it.
It was very funny, and then what made it funnier is the post-game when Jaylen Brown was like, that was childish.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you're not mad about it. Cool.
He definitely was mad about it afterwards. I do wonder if that makes Giannis as enticing to Ime Udoka, seeing something like that go down. Because, I mean,
it helps.
Udoka did coach Jaylen Brown, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's all right. Maybe they didn't stand up for him enough, or he'd still be in Boston.
Could be.
They stand up for their guy.
Could be.
Yeah, I think
he just likes to bleep.
I think no matter what, I think Ime would be in on Giannis. Yeah. Just to be clear, I don't know if there's a world where Ime's like, you know what? No, I'm good on Giannis. Let me get some more Jayshon Tate in my life.
I definitely don't. I do agree with Simmons. I don't think this trade really happens this year in the regular season.
No,
because the Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün part of it, you would assume that the Bucks are going to want one of those guys.
I would think so.
So if you don't, in terms of matching salaries, like it gets more complicated if Fred VanVleet's not here. Because so the luxury tax now with the apron, the second apron, the Bucks cannot take on any more money anymore.
Like, thank you for explaining it to me like
yeah.
I'm dumb.
Yeah, they cannot take more money than they yeah. give out in a trade.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's totally different now. Like, it is a hard cap if you are in the second apron. So you have to match $48 million for Giannis to be traded. It doesn't matter how much draft capital you have. I can't remember if we played this, but like there was...
You got Dylan Brooks.
Brian Windhorst was on ESPN, I think it was the other day, and said the Bucks have been trying to make trades, and then they're getting to the finish line, and they're realizing that they're just not allowed to make these trades anymore. So Giannis's options will be limited. But I think it happens this year, but I think there's... As long as he demands a trade, the Houston should be the team. They have the players and the draft capital better than anyone else.
Brooklyn's the alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also a combination of they have the players to trade, and they also have the players that you would want to play with. And which, when you're talking about a guy demanding a trade, like that is kind of the secret sauce is, well, eventually you will have to like play on this team. And you would like some of the good players to still be there on the team. And this, the Rockets are in a situation where they have a core seven. Okay, let's say you just cut that in half. That's a core 3.5 that you can play with. And then they have so many draft picks that they can here Milwaukee take these draft picks. Where the Nets really only have draft picks. They don't really have players that are either enticing to trade.
What about the guy the Rockets tried to trade for?
Cam Johnson?
Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges is a New York Knick.
And yeah. Something...
I know, ball.
Something happened to him.
Oh, yeah, he can't shoot anymore.
He got broken.
His shot looks disgusting.
Just needs Hakeem Olajuwon.
It's like this weird, like, overhand, like, shot thing. And he used to be a really good three-point shooter, and he's trash.
He's just trying new things.
Yeah, he's got a bad coach in his life.
Could you imagine if the Rockets traded for him and he started shooting like that?
It'd be kind of funny.
Oh my gosh, he would be crushing.
He's shooting 30.4% from three this year.
Okay, that's worse than Jalen Green.
A lot worse.
Okay.
Thank goodness they didn't make that deal.
Well, they almost did, though.
Yes, they did.
They almost did.
Luckily, the Nets were delusional in what they could get. And they got it from the Nets.
That is also crazy. Watching the Knicks suck this year has been great. Yeah, all of a sudden, Jalen Brunson, oh wow, he's not maybe as good as everyone was painting him out to be. A random player who's having a great season in New York. Random's extreme, but yeah, anyway.
Karl Anthony Towns did score 46 points last night. But yeah, they lost.
They lost.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to tell me what happened there. I bet they lost.
The Karl Towns in New York experience so far is that he's been great on offense, and he gives every single dollar of it back on defense. Yeah.
They were down by 22. They ended up losing by one. But, yeah, I enjoy watching the Knicks lose, too.
One last note. The Cavs are 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Sure are.
That's all I got as a thought. Wow.
They're coming for those 7 Patriots.
They're close. They only got 7 games to go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sean Mays behind the glass. Joe to my right. I am Paul Gallant. Gallant and George. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we go back to what we opened up the show talking about. Is it too early to ask questions about how good D'Amico Ryans is as a head coach? Is it too early to ask questions about how good C.J. Stroud is as a quarterback? Let's discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free. Select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams. One coat coverage, interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, You save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.